Let us pause in life's pleasures and count her many tears. Oh, we all share in sorrow with the poor. It's a song that will linger forever in our ears. Oh, hard times come again no more.
Hello. My name is Paul Aronson, and you're listening to Tokyo Progressive's Chocopo News. Today, my guest is John McLaughlin of the National Union of General Workers here in Japan. Today we're going to be talking about the labor movement, including the status of foreign workers. So please stay tuned. You're listening to Emmylou Harris in the background.
Though we seek love and beauty and music light and gay, their frail forms fainting at the door. Though their voices are silent, their pleading faces say, oh, hard times come again.
And with me today is John McLaughlin. Is that how you pronounce it?
Or? McLaughlin.
McLaughlin, same as the guitarist.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Who is with the National Union of General Workers at UGW in Tokyo. And we're recording this on March 6th, which is just a few days before the 10th annual day for migrant and immigrant workers' rights.
Right.
And by the time you hear this, it'll probably have passed. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to ask, John, let's start there. Could you tell us a little bit about this?
This particular event?
Yeah.
Well, basically, since 1993, every March, the four or five main unions organizing foreign workers in the Tokyo area have gotten together to have a kind of joint actions at sites where there are disputes in each of the unions, one per union, and then also have negotiations with ministries over the laws that are affecting, the rights of foreign workers. I mean, for language teachers, it's more with the Monbusho. And maybe the Ministry of Health, Welfare, and Labor about pensions and health insurance. For the undocumented mm-hmm. workers, it's often the Ministry of Justice about visa issues mm-hmm. and maybe the Ministry of, what is it? Ministry of Industry or Economy or Michi.
Now
yeah.
it's Meti.
Yeah. yeah, and also the tax agency, which was part of the Ministry uh-huh. of Finance. And so, that used to be done as one day of action, and then this year is now the 10th time that it's being done, so uh-huh. they're calling it the 10th anniversary. It's actually been 9 years since mm-hmm. it started. And I've only been involved since, I believe, 97, so this is my
okay.
fifth or sixth time. And it's pretty busy going around in the morning to various dispute sites
uh-huh.
for a quick demo and then doing these
uh-huh.
negotiations with ministers or bureaucrats. And so they thought this time it'd be better to break it into separate events
uh-huh.
and also to have a symposium where the Japanese organizers and active foreign members could
uh-huh.
actually reflect on, progress perhaps that's been made in the past 10 years or where we're at now, and especially what
mm-hmm.
do foreigners want from the unions that have been helping them to
mm-hmm.
enable them to participate more, have a more autonomous
right.
Movement.
Right. When you said you talk about how have things changed or progressed or
yeah.
not progressed, I don't know what the best word is, but I think for a lot of people listening, most of the people listening I understand are English speakers.
Right.
When we hear the word foreign workers,
right.
who are foreign workers actually?
Yeah, I think it's hard for language teachers to immediately adapt a worker identity unless they already come from some background perhaps in the labor movement
mm-hmm.
or whatnot, and certainly we're a very privileged kind of strata of the,
mm-hmm.
the foreigners working in Japan. And the main ones, I would say, it's easier to think of it in terms of unions. At Zentoitsu Workers Union
mm-hmm.
near Ueno, they've got several hundred, mostly South Asians, working in construction and manufacturing.
Uh-huh.
Most of them are undocumented.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the issues are things like workplace accidents and
mm-hmm.
compensation, and also the sudden layoffs and
mm-hmm.
other abuses of their rights. Now, in Kanagawa City Union in Kawasaki,
mm-hmm.
that there are 600 dues-paying members. It's quite a big union in terms of foreigners, 900 altogether, so the foreigners are the majority, but three distinct nationalities. The largest one now is the Latin American Nikkei gene, several hundred. It wasn't that way 5 or 6 years ago when I first started being in touch with this group through some research I'm doing. And most of them, as you can imagine, have some sort of visa status where you know they can stay here and do whatever kind of work. Usually it's a Tejusha visa. And
what kind of visa is that?
Long-term resident, and if you've had that a couple times, you can get permanent residency.
Okay.
And also they tend to, although usually they're subcontracted through brokers and you know working at factories, usually car parts and supplies, they generally have, I don't know what the right word is, a somewhat more stable situation and income, although recently things have gotten pretty rough.
With the economy.
Yes, yeah, exactly. The other main, another significant core are Koreans who are newcomers, not the, the Zainichi Koreans, but many of them work in construction and overstayers or whatever, undocumented, and just really horrible conditions and abuses. And I'm sure workplace accident issues are big for them. And the other fairly significant sector would be Filipinos and just a whole range of nationalities in the service industries, restaurants and, oh, it could be bars and whatnot. And so through that particular union had close ties with the NGO that the Yokohama Catholic Diocese had started called Solidarity with Migrants. And they provided interpreters for Tagalog, Spanish, and Korean. And would often be, if there was a labor problem, be referred to the union. So they had a close cooperation. And however, I understand Seoul is closing soon or being transformed. The Yokohama Diocese has changed its its plan. They do every 10 years, they rethink what they're doing. And so I know the union still will retain lots of people as interpreters or, you know, helpers. The other union is FLU in Itabashi, and they, a foreign laborers union, and they're part of Tokyo Rosso, which has some connection with NUGW or Zen Rokyo. I'm not quite clear.
There's a lot of...
Yes, it's really complex how each union
Way back when, Zen Kogipan, NUGW was actually several different unions.
Right, so they were the Hokubu, whereas now ours is Nambu, the South branch. So they have apparently just a smattering of like Brazilian Nikkei gene, Iranians, Africans, maybe about 100, and I believe construction and manufacturing. And then we have Nambu, which is this, you know, fairly privileged elite core of Western language teachers, you know, North America, UK, Australia, New Zealand. But in some sense, some similar issues are most of us are in one-year contracts. The conditions can be suddenly worsened or you're suddenly not renewed, or if you're part-time, you can have, you know, classes cut and at the last minute when it's too late to make up for that. And and so, you know, Nambu itself has several hundred language teachers. And it's true, I mean, most everyone has visas, and income-wise, it's hard to say if language teachers are always paid that much more than, let's say, manufacturing workers. But, you know, people sometimes wonder why any attention is given to us when the people who are really suffering are the undocumented workers and manual workers.
Is there a degree of solidarity between the English teachers who are in the union and the undocumented workers and the...
Degree of solidarity. I would say that the foreigners in Nambu who have been active in going to these joint actions and some of the, I don't know, symposia and exchange meetings that we've had over the years, get to know at least some of the Japanese organizers. And as you know, foreigners tend to come and go and change even in the other unions, particularly if they don't have visas and whatnot. So I can't say that a real deep you know, understanding or relationship is developed there. I mean, in my case, I might be the person who's had the most contact with the different unions, partly because I'm on in a research group on the Organization of Foreign Workers in Japan that the Center for Transnational Labor Studies started in 1995, so that's been 7 years.
How about with the Japanese workers?
The Japanese organizers?
Or the actual rank and file, is there...
Well, the rank and file of the different unions, for example, Zen Toitsu has a well-known dispute at Cordine Motors. It's a, I think, a motorcycle sales company, or I'm not sure what they do, and often we go to support their demos. They come to Tokyo Gaigo disputes and, okay. and some other Nambu disputes, and a lot of the joint actions, Sokodo, Ichinichi Kodo, uh-huh. Are always include Zentoitsu, Kanagawa City Union, Nambu.
Right.
So the Japanese organizers in particular know each other really well, mm-hmm. and they meet once a month at the Zentoitsu Workers Union office to exchange information about cases mm-hmm. and disputes, and then to plan this annual action. So
right.
for the past year, I've been going to their monthly meetings.
Right.
And a real interesting group, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, each of these organizers has an interesting past in student movement or labor movement.
I guess so,
yeah.
I noticed that the day after the symposium or the
yes.
meeting, there's another scheduled event.
Yeah, those are the negotiations with the ministries on the rights of foreign workers.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, that this is probably the core that we've been doing, you know, now for, this is the 10th time,
uh-huh.
coming up on March 11th. And one reason, again, it was a separate day is in the past you'd have these rushed half-hour meetings.
Uh-huh.
Demands had been sent in Japanese already,
okay.
and they've prepared answers. And, you know, typically a bureaucrat is just going to try to say, well, the law doesn't address that,
uh-huh.
so there's no violation of the law, or we don't handle that, ask that ministry.
Yeah.
And so sometimes people wonder, what's the point of even doing this? However, it's Diet members who are facilitating it, and
uh-huh.
in our case, usually Social Democratic Party members, and they,
mm-hmm.
you know, are saying, well, look, your responsibility is to deal with issues that the law doesn't cover and are ignoring, and you've got to come up with policies to address
mm-hmm.
it, and you've got to grasp the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think putting that regular pressure on them, plus as disputes come up, it's one venue to kind of, you know, vent your anger and frustration over
right.
nothing being done or how slow the court process is. And as you know, in Japan, gyosei shido, which is advice given by
uh-huh.
public servants or the, you know, various government agencies,
mm-hmm.
can have some impact behind the scenes.
Right.
And we don't have hard evidence, but we have a sense that every
mm-hmm.
once in a while, a ministry person is contacting some sort of industry-wide organization or some company where we're having a
uh-huh.
dispute or a problem
uh-huh.
and saying, look, you know, try to deal with this problem or clean it up or
uh-huh.
settle it.
Uh-huh.
And so we feel it's an important pipeline to
uh-huh.
keep open.
I've heard that in comparison with, well, for example, North America, the United
yeah.
States, in some ways Japan has more advantageous policies for workers.
Right.
Is that true?
Well, the labor administration system in Japan is extensive. So you've
uh-huh.
got offices in every kind of city or ward
uh-huh.
or every few cities. You've got at a prefecture level labor standards inspection office, and then you've got several processes. You can have consultations in various languages.
Uh-huh.
You can initiate a grievance and have them investigate or have them demand that the employer come and have some sort
uh-huh.
of mediation. Then if you're in a union, you've got the labor commission,
mm-hmm.
and if there's unfair labor practices, and you know, let's say management refuses collective bargaining,
mm-hmm.
you can bring them to the table and you know, have hearings,
mm-hmm.
and then it's a tripartite body, management, labor, and quote-unquote neutral public
right.
sector, and they make a decision,
mm-hmm.
which isn't binding, but may lend some moral force.
Yeah, right.
And of course, you know, workplace accident compensation and social insurance, there are separate offices for those,
mm-hmm.
employment insurance. From my perspective as an American, I don't think there's nearly as an extensive a system. We have the NLRB, National Labor Relations
right.
Board for national
right.
things, and we have OSHA at the state and more local level,
mm-hmm.
occupational safety and health. But not all of this extra kind of
right.
yeah. these advisory bodies.
Yeah, in that sense, that's the kind of thing I was thinking about. Although you sometimes hear that maybe a bit of the opposite, that, for example, a labor union will win a case even in court, but then
mm-hmm.
after they win the case, they still go back to the same struggle. I
yes.
think there was, the, for
yeah.
example, the...
yeah, so, you know, courts usually never grant a total victory to one side or the other, right?
Yeah.
And so... you know, Tokyo Gaigo had a situation
yeah.
where they were, their dismissals for the 14 foreigners were rendered ineffective, but there was no back pay,
mm-hmm.
no recognition of 5 or 6 years of struggle,
mm-hmm.
you know, and of course they went to the school the next day to quote unquote report for work, and the management was blocking them out of the building, partly because they'd already made an appeal, and so now the case has been appealed by both sides.
Ah, I see.
And they're under mediation at the moment,
uh-huh.
and actually things are moving along
okay.
on that. But, you know, this is now coming to the end of the seventh year. I've lost count. I mean, let's say March 96 was the first wave of dismissals mm-hmm. that are being contested mm-hmm. right now. Right. So we're going into the seventh year in April.
Right.
And, you know, that's a real long time.
It is.
You've got these hearings every other month, and they're a half hour or whatever.
Right.
And the judges have the nerve to say, well, we won't grant you back pay because you've been working elsewhere,
right.
you know. Well, of course, you have to work elsewhere to survive fight the case.
Sometimes you wonder about this.
Yeah, it's a real contradiction. Yeah.
But even so, there have been a fair number of victories, I guess, for foreign labor.
In court?
Yes,
unions themselves have had lots of victories. I think this is why they keep taking on consultations.
Right.
Some things can actually just be solved with a phone call,
right.
some with a few collective bargaining sessions, and then some with just the threat of a court case,
right.
and some, you know, you get into the court case and settle before a decision.
Right.
And, you know, the union, of course, there's a moral victory, there's some money that comes mm-hmm. from, you know, the settlement,
uh-huh.
and I think most of these unions have actually been, they mm-hmm. do what's called sodan katsudo,
uh-huh.
mostly they're handling consultations.
Right.
They're not really actively organizing branches
right.
at
mm-hmm.
schools,
right.
unless they're contacted or invited to do that.
And that's relatively easy to form a union, I heard. For example,
yes.
For example, in the United States, people have to vote whether
right.
it's a closed shop sort of system, I guess.
Yes, the 50% plus one, either
yeah.
signing the cards or the closed ballot.
Right.
Yeah.
But here it's pretty much...
Yeah, you
can form a union.
First of all, you can join as an individual.
Right.
So that's one, you know, thing. Right away you can become a union member. But if you've got three people, for example, in our union, then you can form a branch.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to reveal your names to the employers. The union organizers
mm-hmm.
can negotiate on your behalf.
Right.
And so in some ways that's a strength because you can immediately make progress in organizing.
Right.
The limitation is that, you can have multiple unions in a workplace
right.
then. Anyone can be in different
right.
unions. And, you know, if you're only three people out of a whole workforce, then, you know,
right.
You're not representing everybody. You
right.
can put less pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
so people argue, you know, is the Japanese system better or the American
right.
system better? Obviously, both have
their
you know,
strong
strengths
points
and weaknesses.
Yeah.
yeah,
I wanted to come back to one thing. You mentioned that one of the groups of laborers or workers in Japan, foreign workers in
mm-hmm.
Japan, are the undocumented workers.
Right.
Some people, when they hear undocumented workers, they react right away and they say, "But those are illegal aliens. Why would
uh-huh.
why would you be concerned about quote unquote illegal
uh-huh.
aliens?" And I think maybe that needs to be.
Uh-huh.
Better explained to people.
Yeah, I mean, in
yeah.
fact, that we, you know, many Japanese researchers or writers would say something like illegal worker, and
mm-hmm.
of course in America, illegal alien. And the point is, why should they be blamed for two things? First of all, it's the Japanese employer
mm-hmm.
who's employing them, exploiting them at low wages and
mm-hmm.
unsafe working conditions. And many workers, most of them are from Asia, right?
Mm-hmm.
East and South Asia and Latin America. And, you know, they've had to kind of suffer beyond globalization of capital, the
mm-hmm.
structural adjustments that, you know, Western-dominated
right.
organizations have imposed on their countries, cutting education, welfare, and,
right.
and public employment. And, you know, should we be blaming them for
right.
wanting to come to a country where wages are, you know, 100 times greater
mm-hmm.
on average?
Right.
You know, Bangladesh and Japan's gap, for
mm-hmm.
example. And so we want to shift the focus of blame off of them,
mm-hmm.
the workers themselves, to the government for knowing that they're here working but
mm-hmm.
not giving them the papers, the visa status or documents.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there should be an amnesty
right.
on a regular basis if people are... Some people have been undocumented for 8 or 9 years.
8 or 9 years,
yeah.
right. It's said that one of the main groups in favor of more immigration is very often business, but I suppose that means cheap wages... So,
right,
yeah.
yes, and more competition and flexibility there. And so that could be a tension. Most Japanese unions certainly do not have a policy in favor of importing more
right.
foreign labor,
right.
That's for sure. But on the other hand, I think one has to think of global labor solidarity
mm-hmm.
and you know, the foreigners are not stealing jobs from Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, if things get worse for Japanese workers, the foreigners will be the first to be let
to
go,
be cut,
and the Japanese
right.
will be employed at the lower wages.
right.
That's happening in the Toyota factories now
oh, really?
in Aichi Prefecture.
So they're
yeah.
they're firing the
Nikkei Brazilians and then
right.
employing young or old Japanese or women to do the same.
Now what
job.
Happens, now you say that they come on a visa which is relatively easy to renew.
If they have, if they're of Japanese descent, right? Yes,
so,
it's a 3-year visa. If you have the... the, what is it called, the koseki, the
right.
family registry documents to prove mm-hmm. a bloodline
right.
to the second or third generation,
right.
then it's pretty easy to get a visa, other than there have been scandals of false documents, so they
right.
sometimes take time to
mm-hmm.
investigate it.
One of the things I'd like to ask you before we have to end is there are probably some people who are listening who are experiencing trouble in their workplace, and some of them
right.
may be here in Tokyo and some of them may be other places in Japan.
Yeah.
And there, I know there are some people not even in Japan,
mm-hmm.
but I guess we'll deal with the people who are in Japan.
Yeah.
What do people do if they're in a work situation where
uh-huh.
they think they're in need of
uh-huh.
Help?
Yeah, there are several things you can do. So, you know, of course, you know, contacting a union is one strategy, and there's, at least
mm-hmm.
in the English press or the TEL helpline, and
right.
I think they do that in other languages as well, various contact information for unions, you can be referred, and usually you can have a consultation. In that case, I would like to strongly suggest
mm-hmm.
that if you don't speak Japanese well, you get a Japanese friend or colleague to
mm-hmm.
come with you or to explain the case in Japanese. It just saves so much time.
Mm-hmm.
And also be clear about your situation. I mean, we don't have to hear the whole story of your life or your relations with your colleagues or your problems. And actually, we would just like a timeline of what the problem was
right.
and how it developed.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that you can do yourself before contacting the union.
Right.
And remember, the union does want to support you and does want to help. We would certainly expect that you participate and contribute in the union
mm-hmm.
in exchange, become a member and pay dues. Because,
mm-hmm.
You know, if we aren't supporting these groups financially, then,
right.
you know, they would go away.
Right.
And the other thing is there's the labor administration system where
mm-hmm.
you know, Chinese, English, Korean, some of the main languages, you can have your own individual consultations
mm-hmm.
in your language on two different days a week usually, and
mm-hmm.
They can give you advice. Now,
mm-hmm.
whether they're effective or not, you
right.
know, there's always a question. And the same thing with the union. The union may decide that your case is not worth it. The law basically supports what happened to you. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, oh, I guess I wanted to say that, you know, in any labor dispute,
mm-hmm.
very often neither side is completely innocent.
Right.
We know that and understand that. So don't bother hiding
right.
things about what happened
right.
Because they will come out later on if we pursue the case.
Right.
We'd rather know earlier. And even if something bad happened, what we're focused on is upholding the labor law
mm-hmm.
and labor principles.
Right.
And we will see that those get priority.
Right.
And then, you know, we proceed from there.
Right.
So that kind of
mm-hmm.
honesty is appreciated.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, that's kind of important because
yeah.
people very often see it as black or white, that if you're a union, you've got to represent the worker, but there
right.
are certain cases that
yeah.
may not.
Well, they should think, why should we represent you unless you're going to also help us
right.
or do something for
exactly.
us? And a lot of foreigners just calculate in their heads,
uh-huh.
how much help can I get? Is it
right.
worth this time, the dues, and the money? And that kind of person
right.
isn't really welcomed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, again, you mentioned a number of different labor unions or
mm-hmm.
different branches of labor unions.
Right.
How does one decide which one to go? For example, here in Kanto area.
Yeah, I would probably do it by language
yeah.
and nationality, maybe industry. So if you're an English speaker and a language teacher and possibly some sort of professional dealing with language, a journalist,
uh-huh.
an interpreter, or whatever, NUGW has experience with dealing
uh-huh.
with employers in your situation. So
uh-huh.
I would, and we have branches in Osaka, Fukuoka, Kumamoto that have foreign members.
Right, so the English speakers, that would be one
yes,
of
yes, that would be the, but there are English speakers in the other unions.
In the unions
so,
as well.
You know, I would say that Kanagawa City Union is very strong with
mm-hmm.
the Latin American community.
Right.
And workplace accident compensation and industrial workers,
right.
manufacturing, I guess construction as well.
Right.
And so dealing with brokers
mm-hmm.
and subcontractors.
Right.
Zentoitsu is rather similar in that regard, but its population is mostly South Asian.
South Asian.
So I would say if you're from Bangladesh, India, or Pakistan,
right.
that would be the most natural union to approach.
Of course, if somebody contacts one of these and they realize they contacted the wrong one, I'm sure they could be referred.
Yeah, because
right?
we all know each
you
other.
Know
I mean, Zentoitsu refers to Kanagawa
right.
City Union. The other thing is geography. If you're in closer to Kanagawa, go there.
Mm-hmm.
Closer to Ueno or northern Tokyo, go to Zentoitsu.
Right.
If you're on the Itabashi side or Saitama, you might want to go to FLU.
Right. There's a general union in Kansai. Is that a...
Yes, yeah, and that one's a very interesting group because it's, I believe, 80% foreigners
right.
and the executives and some of the
right.
paid part-time organizers are foreign members, and they've really got a kind of from my perspective anyway, an energy, a solid core of people
right.
who are fairly dedicated,
mm-hmm.
come in regularly, see to all the details of keeping a union going,
right.
and
mm-hmm.
good model, I think, for
yeah.
the rest of us.
Also in Kumamoto or in Kyushu, I've noticed
yeah,
there's some groups.
Those have been originated from disputes at universities, the Prefectural
right.
University of Kumamoto and some universities in the Fukuoka area.
Okay.
There, and also we have Japanese branches there and organizers,
mm-hmm.
so it was easier to start branches there. We're having problems in Hokkaido, and lots of people have wanted to join, but
right.
we just don't have
just
Japanese
don't have
organizers
people.
There. Yeah.
Okay. And of course, if anybody's listening in another country, then please contact the labor unions in your country.
Yes.
Is there.
Yeah, doing a website search is an easy way to,
right.
to access our union.
Right.
Yeah.
Would you want to give the contact information for NUJW?
Yes,
that,
yes, could
sure.
I? And so... well, the website for the whole union, which I believe is in Japanese and English, you'll have to click on English if
mm-hmm.
you can find it, is www.jca.apc.org/NUGW_TS. That's
right.
you know, National Union of General Workers Tokyo South. And from there, you can click on to the branches that organize foreign language teachers, the KTUF website,
mm-hmm.
KTUF. Kanto Teacher Foreign Language Teachers Union
right.
Federation. My particular branch is the University Teachers Union, UTU, and we're in the process of transferring our website,
okay.
but I'm sure you can find a link there.
Okay.
And Osaka, I don't know if they're linked, but there should be a way to contact the Osaka branches. I know they have a website.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, very good. Thank you, and good luck. By the time people listen to this, it will have been over, but the 10th Annual Day for Migrant and Immigrant Workers' Rights meeting is coming up.
Right,
so.
And there'll be the 11th next
right.
year. These events will go on, so
okay.
We welcome your participation.
Okay, and we'll have something on the website about this, too. So thanks
okay.
again.
All right, thank
okay,
you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Okay, that was John McLaughlin of the National Union of General Workers. Let me give you the telephone number here in Tokyo. That's 03-3434-0669, fax number 03-3433-0334. And while we're on the topic of labor unions, let me just mention that on March 10th, 2002, Marta Russell wrote in ZNet about a former Toyota engine fabrication assembly line worker, Ella Williams, who was fired by a Toyota Motor Corporation in the United States because she developed carpal tunnel syndrome. And apparently the original court ruled in her favor, and this ruling was overturned by the Supreme Court, which more and more is acting in the interest of the ruling class, I guess we'll say. And so Marta Williams calls for a boycott of Toyota Motor Corporation for discriminating against workers with physical disabilities. And maybe we'll have a link to that article on the website. Before we close, let me also mention that coming up March 30th, 2002, there will be the second International Green Forum Japan on Saturday, did I say it? Saturday 30th of March at Aoyama Gakuin University in Tokyo. And if you check our website at http://tokyoprogressive.org, you should see a link there. If it's not there now, it will be soon. Okay? And I'll also be one of the speakers, by the way. Okay, so we'll see you again next time. Until then, take care. Bye-bye.
Actually, it was from someone else down in Tennessee I learned the whole story of Coal Creek. It happened way back in the 1890s. The miners had been trying to organize. The coal operators pulled off a real slick deal. They paid the state government and got state prisoners, convicts, to work in the mines. Well, the miners protested, said it wasn't fair for convict labor to be competing with free labor. They couldn't organize under those conditions. The governor didn't pay any attention to their petitions, so one dark night, several hundred miners walked down to the prison stockade, and at gunpoint, they demanded the warden free all the prisoners. They burnt down the stockade, helped the prisoners escape across to the state borders. Well, for 4 years, they called it the Coal Creek Rebellion. The governor sent down troops from Knoxville, and some of the battles had as many as 2,000 or 3,000 people in it. Of course, the miners won every battle but the last one. They were actually starved into submission. And the whole thing looked like they'd lost the struggle against the convict labor system. But as so often happens in American history, the fact that they'd put up a struggle got them some publicity. The all around Tennessee people became aware of this convict labor system, and a new governor was elected with a plank in his platform of getting rid of the convict labor's contracts. And he did. So all turned out well in the end. And there was a song down there that told more of the story. Way back yonder in Tennessee, they leased the convicts out, put them working in the mine against free labor. Stout free labor rebelled against it. To win it took some time, but when the lease was in effect, they made him rise and shine. Buddy, won't you roll down the line? Buddy, won't you roll down the line? Yonder come my darling, coming down the line. Buddy, won't you roll down the line?